believe those are the only people we should date.
It's really hard when our bodies are so unpredictable and they're all beautiful and they're all messy and things happen. And so I think that we should all look for the partners that are like, you're beautiful the way you are.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. Today, what a fun show. We are putting the spotlight on some of our deepest insecurities so we can work through them and be our true, authentic selves. Whether you're worried about your weight, or nervous about telling someone your like deepest, darkest secrets, you know, the more we try to hide those worries, the bigger they get. And I invited my team on this show, which I loved. Everyone just sort of opened up. You've ever been sitting around with your, if you're sitting around with your team, you might not have such an in-depth conversation about, I don't know, your insecurities in the bedroom, but you know when you just get going. That's what happened in this show. Turns out a lot of us are fighting a lot of the same demons, and I think you're going to be able to relate. We talk about our journeys with body image, our weight, balding, period sex, all the things. And then I work with them, you know, walk through how to work on each unique insecurity so you can learn to like and maybe even love those things about yourself that you think aren't lovable. We also explore the difference between women's fears and men's fears, and I know you're going to enjoy this show. Let's set an intention. So for each episode, you know, after hearing what the show's about, what do you want to get out of it? It could be, wow, I want to hear how other people get through their insecurities. My intention was to show you how with just a little bit of focus, a little bit of time, you can turn those insecurities around so you'll have more confidence, not only in the bedroom, but in your life. All right, survey. We have a new survey. It's our Better Sex Survey, sponsored by Pure. And I just want to hear what you have going on now. What are your sex goals for the year? And a lot of you have been emailing me and saying, oh, thanks for your survey. I actually got me thinking about my own sex life and I learned something. So I would love if you could check it out. It's really easy to take. It is sexwithemily.com/survey. And I appreciate you. It really helps us make a even stronger show because I want to know what you like and what you want to hear. And just remember, if you have any questions at all that you want to ask me, just call me directly. It's Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific, and I can just help you take the next right step. It's like little mini doses of therapy. The number is 888-947-8277. That's 888-947-8277. All right, so Gab is my assistant, and we've worked together for 4 months now, and we don't have a lot of time to talk, but one day she revealed this insecurity to me. We actually haven't talked about it since she just kind of dropped it. I mean, I could say she has a fear of vaginas.
Yeah.
That's all I know.
Yeah. Like, this is a nice way to be introed into the Sex with Emily
Hello,
world.
Gab.
Listeners. Y'all might have heard me giggling in the background, but this is it.
Yeah. So Gab, tell me about it, because it's actually, you're not alone with it, because I actually have to tell you there is a fear. It's called urotophobia, and that is a fear. Like, it's a phobia. I don't know if you have a full-on phobia. So the difference between a phobia and just a fear, a phobia is like it's a, you know, life-altering, it impacts every area of your life. You're not able to do certain things, you know, fear of agoraphobia, fear of outside, you can't go outside ever. Like, it's a whole thing to get over that fear. And I don't know what about this fear. So what could you tell me what you know about it? When was the first time you remember feeling it?
So I would say it's more, I don't know if we would call it a fear. I know we talked about that earlier. Is it a phobia? Is it a fear? Is it just a not understanding and growing up with this whole idea that my vagina and all vaginas are just this weird, gross, questionable factum at the bottom of a woman's body? Like, who knows? But growing up, being around my friends, like, you know, guys, I grew up with a lot of guys, like in the sports world, working with a lot of ice hockey teams. And, you know, I would hear about the guys who just drop in, they just go into the locker room, they didn't care who they were changing in front of. And then girls as well, like, I'd be in the locker room for field hockey and they would just be changing in front of everyone. But for some reason, I guess growing up, I just never had a love for my own vagina. And okay. I just thought it was this weird place, and that because of that, I just never wanted to see anyone else's. I felt like it should be this private thing.
Well, let me just give you some backstory here. There's a few reasons why this is interesting because, I actually already have some ideas, but the first thing is, I think the first day that Gab was on the job, I might have gotten undressed in front of you. I might have changed. I don't know that I took off my underwear, but I just change. I'm used to people being around and I'm like changing. The other thing is, I have a vulva puppet. It's right behind me and it's there all the time. We've talked about it. One time I think you had to bring it into the office for me. So that's why it's also, I want to understand it. But part of me feels like you just said a lot there about the growing up with a brother. Mm-hmm. And then if you ever heard even, let's say no one ever talked about your vagina initially, but then you heard boys in the locker room saying like, oh, meat curtains or vaginas are gross. That's definitely going to have an impact on you, I would think. That could be part of it. And then also not having education around it. And the truth is, you're right. I mean, the thing is, I don't know, because you're funny, you have a great sense of humor. And I actually don't know if it's ever impacted your ability to be sexual. Has it ever?
I don't think it has. I mean, you know, I think any way that my vagina might impact my sex life is like any other girl. You feel like your pH might be off. You're feeling a little questionable. But outside of that, it definitely hasn't. I think it's just more of the idea.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm happy to hear that. But I think what it brings up, though, it's this phobia, urotophobia. It's female. It can come from a lot of different things. It could be because a lot of us just have a highly prudish and puritanical upbringing. Everything comes back to not having a lot of sex education. And so as a result of that, we take little few things that we hear. I mean, you might not even remember all of it, but perhaps there was something that was said and then there wasn't a lot of women around maybe talking about sex that might have had that impact on you. But what about other things? Is there any, have you ever taken a look at yours with a mirror?
God, no.
Because that might be the first step. There's so many women, like you said, Gab, that just, they think it's wrong. Last night, we had a few callers who were like, I feel dirty. I don't want my partner to go down on me because I'm afraid that I smell. I didn't shave correctly. They don't really want to be there. And that is because society does not back up the vulva, the vagina, as something that is beautiful, even though it's what gave us all life. And the vulva is so misunderstood and they're all so different. And then what we see in porn, whenever, if that's the only vagina you've seen, it's not, probably doesn't look like yours because no two are the same. So I don't know, Gab, do you think it's impacting your life in any way?
So I'm not even joking. Talking about the body, talking about sex, even when I hadn't had sex, I could talk about it freely. But funny enough, we have my friend here with me and as you as well, Emily, like, you know, when we're in close quarters, when I used to be traveling for work, when I'm with you sometimes, like that's the moment when I recognize that, or when I'm with my friends that I'm like, this is actually impacting me because I might have been on a tour bus or we might be in the house and you might be getting ready for the show and I completely divert and leave the room.
Yeah.
And I'm screaming from the kitchen because I'm like, you know what? There's got to be space. There's got to be boundaries. If she doesn't want it, I'm going to give it to her.
The second Gab thinks I'm going to change, she ducks out and like calls me from the kitchen. So wait, Ezzie, do you want to talk about this? You've been friends with Gab for a while. Did you know you've known about this?
Yeah. Well, Gab and I were really good friends, but we also worked together in the past and she was my tour manager. So, and I'm really open like you. I get naked in front of my friends and change and I don't really think about it. And I remember one time she was like, I don't remember exactly what you said, but you were like, I don't care. I'll see anything, just not like your labia or something. I'm like, God, what's wrong with the labia? Like you have one. And I basically said the same thing. Like, have you ever looked at it? I'm also like queer. So vaginas are fine and they're great. And like, I don't really worry about that, but yeah. I definitely noticed that you got really nervous and uncomfortable. And that makes me sad because, you know, you're great.
You're amazing, Gab.
I'm so expecting Emily to give me a mirror for our Christmas present now. Well,
I am. Can you? Yeah, no, but Gab, I think that could be the first step. Maybe have a glass of wine or tequila, whatever you need to chill. And then you just take a mirror. You could even take your phone. Don't take a picture. Yet, but just take a look and just be like, okay. And I think that because even women who feel that they don't even want to masturbate or it's wrong, that's often the first step. I won't even say you have to masturbate. I'll just say, like, take a look and you might be surprised that it's beautiful. And then once you get into that, you realize, like, you make friends with it and then you realize it's a part of you. And then when you do look at it, when you masturbate, you see that it swells and it's beautiful, but we don't have to push you there yet. I just think that could be your first step. I think also, like, what was your sex education like growing up?
I saw The Miracle of Life when I was in sixth grade, sitting at a table with both boys and girls. That was a riveting experience in science class. And then we learned about tampons and pads, and that's about it. Anything else that I learned was from Sex in the City, watching it with my family.
Yeah, and watching all those things doesn't help you love your vagina, like The Miracle of Life, and here's a tampon and put it inside of you. See, mm-hmm. that stuff, the way we educate our youth is so not helpful for becoming an adult and understanding our bodies and masturbating. It's all based around fear, and it's all based around don't get pregnant or an STD, and it's all these medical conditions, but we never talk about pleasure. What about you, Ezzy? Did you have any sex education that was useful?
My sex education was weird too. Like, I remember in health class learning about like STDs and not getting pregnant, and like learning about like your period in fifth grade by watching in an assembly with boys and girls, or maybe it was just girls. And it was so awkward and like very shame provoking. It almost felt like, it almost felt like this is happening. Like, now you must be scared and not like embrace it.
Right. And it's mixed messages, right, Ezzy? Because then they say, oh, so we're told sex is going to be this amazing thing, and then there's zero information about it. It's just the fear-based information. So when did you get past it? So you're not afraid of it. Well, you're queer. So when did you first masturbate?
This is crazy. I never talked about this. I must have been maybe like 17 maybe, or 18. Okay. Like when I started like hooking up with guys, and they'd do stuff and I'd be like, oh, wait, this is kind of, and then I would just do it to myself and then.
Right. And they figured it out. That's cool. So that wasn't like shame, or so you felt good about it. Yeah, Gab, what about you? When did you start?
On the younger side, I would say somewhere around like maybe 14, 13, 14.
Okay.
And definitely always curious. I'll say that much.
Okay. So do you remember when I know we kind of talked about this, but do you remember the moment where you were like, oh, the vagina is a no-go for me?
I think it might have been, so talking about what we've learned, like what we learned in school, we learned a lot about STDs and things like that, but we didn't learn about vaginas, like social norms, like how to maintain it, like trimming hair, as well as, you know, women, like you get yeast infections, you have discharge, like these things are normal. And I think when I started to experience those types of things as I grew up, I was like, this is a phantom and I never knew this was supposed to happen. And I think that's when it started, because I thought that there was something wrong with me because it was never openly discussed. And then as I grew up, and, you know, it wasn't until college when I first mentioned the word discharge to a friend of mine. And she was like, I have that problem too. And I was like, oh, wait a second. This is normal? Yeah.
It's so normal. I mean, this is something that all women have, discharge, completely normal. But then we're seeing that we should like buy a douche, which douches are not healthy for women, because like I say, they're like, your pH balance like is going to be fine. Your vagina is like a self-cleaning oven on its own. It was going to maintain that. But yeah, there's just so many things we don't understand. And then what you do know is you're like, I'm bleeding and I have cramps. I mean, you get it why women might have this fear around their vulvas. So Gab, is it something that is top of mind often besides work?
Yeah, imagine going into the office every day and Emily then just put up vulva wallpaper.
I won't do that now.
You know, like I'm a true fan of the woman's body. Like, I love breasts. I think butts. Good. Like I have a huge fascination with butts. Like we all know I love my own. I love everyone's. I'll give them compliments, but there's just something with the vulva, vagina, everything that I'm willing, even talking about it, even having the conversation with you and not just jokingly passing it off as a, you know, I have a fear of vaginas, and then walking out of your house in the middle of a show.
She just dropped it on me one night.
Yeah.
She just dropped it. Ezzy, she did that to you too? Did you guys ever talk about it?
Like, I'm very much like my friend's therapist. I'm like, what's wrong? What triggered that? But there's a thought that came to me when you were saying something. And I remember I was thinking about like, how a lot of guys don't really know, they're not educated on women's vaginas too. So, and I think maybe when they see like discharge, or they see, you know, certain things that they don't know about,
you're right.
Maybe they don't mean to, but they tend to shame girls for that when they just don't know that that's normal. And then girls don't know that it's normal. So then they're like, what's wrong with me?
That's why exactly am I doing
it? One of my biggest fears would be a guy, like, you know, you're all hot and intimate, you're touching one another, and then he touches your vulva and then starts climbing forward and then goes, oh, you're too wet, or oh, the consistency is off, like things like that. Yeah. When a guy doesn't realize that, you know, that doesn't mean there's something wrong with you either. That just means, you know, your body's processing a little bit differently today.
Right, exactly. Because if we don't know, how can guys know? You know, that, yeah, discharge happens, usually it has to do with our hormones, but peel that back, we don't even understand our hormones, but different times of month, you have more discharge than others. Different times a month, you get more wet than others. Your wetness level doesn't mean that you're not turned on if you're not wet. Like, this is just the stuff. How useful would this have been when we were in high school? And then we worry about our discharge, which we can't control. And then we worry about the hair. Like, I would just love to empower women and be like, you get to decide. Thank you for being so honest here and bring it up. And discharge is confusing. God, and you're just like, what is wrong? Do I have a yeast? Because sometimes you could have a yeast infection, or there could be something, but sometimes it's just discharge after your period or when you're ovulating. The vaginas are just, they should be our happy place. I mean, because they give us so much pleasure. And then we have the clitoris with 8,000 nerve endings that just exists for pleasure. Ezzy, do you feel like you know your body better now being with women?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I'm in a serious relationship with a woman, so for almost a year now. So I've definitely... Yeah, I think so for sure. Just noticing that, like, when I would only hook up with guys or date guys, you're not seeing other women's bodies. Like, you're not seeing that. You're not experiencing, like, other women being turned on or, like, seeing them go through the motions. So you genuinely just don't know. But then having dated girls, I think, it definitely opened my eyes a lot to, like, understanding how, you know,
everyone's true. Exactly. Because you're like, oh yeah, I discharge, you discharge, you have a tampon. Like, we're just so much more open. And you're right. And we don't see other women. We don't talk. We're just starting to talk about female masturbation, like in the last, I mean, while, but it's still not that common that we talk about it. So we're certainly not talking about masturbation or saying like, my labia looks like this, how about yours? And then the only vaginas you see are in porn. So, and those aren't accurate because they're shot from an angle, the labia is tucked in. There's like makeup on it. It's not a real vulva. So stick around. We're going to talk about what to do if your partner makes you feel bad in bed. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's a kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Amanda, what do you think?
Yeah, it was funny because I joined the call late. And as soon as I heard what you all were talking about, I instantly could empathize and understood it because I think there's so many aspects of vaginas and vulvas that can be confusing. Like, I I thought pleasure was confusing. I didn't like understand like how to like orgasm with a partner, but I also thought vaginal health was confusing. So it's like, there's so many avenues we could go down to talk about how vaginas and vulvas can be confusing.
They are confusing. And then what do you do with the hair? Like what do you decide? I think you have to decide what you want, what feels good to you. I hate when there's like pressure to rip it all off or not. And then there's little hairs there where you didn't want them.
You know what's crazy is that I remember when I was sitting around, I was at a dinner table. Fathom this real quick. I was at a dinner table with 10 guys and I was there just like quiet in the corner doing my thing, eating my food. And I hear one of them say, "Oh, if she has hair back there, I'm kicking her out." And like to hear men like put standards on women's bodies like that as well. It's like, I want to know, like, where are the men that are just like, it is what it is. Like, I don't care. If it's a bush, it's a bush. If you want to shave, shave.
It's attractive to me when a man feels that way, when I know that he or a woman, like when either like gender will desire me regardless of like what my body looks like.
Yeah. And they're out there. Those people are out there that those are I believe those are the only people we should date. I mean, the ones who shame you and make you feel bad and talk about your weight and what you should eat and what you shouldn't eat or how you should look. It's really hard when our bodies are so unpredictable and they're all beautiful and they're all messy and things happen and sex can be messy. So I think that we should all look for the partners that are like, you're beautiful the way you are. And you're right, Amanda. I've been with guys who are just like, I love how you look in the morning and I love all these things about you. And it just I mean, that's why so many women don't have orgasms either or pleasure, because we're so tight. Wound and worried that something's going to happen. There's going to be like a weird noise or a mess or something that is just going to upset these guys. But I think that's what we're kind of trying to change. So I want to give this out to men, just say, learn to celebrate it. And to women too. I think we just, oh God, we're so shameful. And I don't know, have you guys ever been with someone who has shamed you directly?
I can say I've had a man look at me and say, oh, well, you know, your butt's looking flatter. And for me, that's an insult. And he says, you need to be doing more squats. And I'm like, excuse me? Excuse me? And you know, that alone, like telling a woman that when you're spending time with them makes them really insecure.
Yes. Just one comment like that. So I think the whole body positive thing and acceptance, that should be on your list of traits in a partner that are desirable. Why can't we just be with people who are celebrating it? But we can. You just turn away from the partners who don't make you feel good. And even if it's just one comment, but I think there's something in our culture still that we think, oh, that's normal, or they're probably right.
I've heard it before with period sex too. Yes. That's like, and you asked if I'd been shamed. Cause like one time I remember I was hooking up with a guy and I guess my period like started early or something. And so there was blood and he was like, oh, and like, oh, like started freaking out about like the mess. And I was just like, this is something I cannot control. And it's something that happens to almost every woman, at least like majority of women or vulva owners. So like, how would you feel about that if I was like, oh, like every time you like came or every time you like squirted semen, you know, like,
it's true. Period sex is a whole nother conversation too. Mm-hmm. You're right that we can't help, but we did it like we secretly knew we were about to bleed and we're like, let's have sex at this moment. We didn't want that either, but we didn't, you know, we can't control it. And I don't know if it's just younger men, maybe guy in their 20s, but I was with someone in their 30s. The second if there was any blood, he would hop out of bed, jump in the shower by himself before the sex was over. And it was like, I didn't know then that I could just leave those people. I just thought that's how it was. We can't help it.
Yeah. Sure. And I get like some people just don't like blood. Like I don't want to like make men or anyone like feel they have to be okay with my blood or anyone's blood, but still like be respectful, you know? And
yeah, don't tell us that word. It's gross. Yeah.
I know that we're talking a lot about the female insecurities and like I can go on a list, but I would also love, just give me some time. I'll list them all out for you. But I would also love to know, like, what is it that women might say to guys? Like, have any of you with any partners you might have been with? Like, what are insecurities that guys talk about as well? Like, at most, you know, a guy might say, don't grab my little like fat in the front, like my stomach. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, like, I don't really hear of anything.
I mean, obviously we go off on penis size because we hear about that every day. But yeah, Erica's saying losing erections during sex, taking too long to finish, but nothing about particular body parts. I don't, besides their penis, it's all around. Have you? Yeah.
It's also interesting because like at least in my experience, like if a guy like were to feel kind of insecure, their response is like a little bit more just, I don't want to generalize, but like just from my experience is a little bit more like defensive and more like, well, what do you know or this? And our responses whenever we're pointed stuff out is like the complete opposite, or at least my response in the past has been like not defensive at all. It's been very like, I'm sorry, like, oh my God, like what an inconvenience to you. Like just complete different response.
Exactly. That's it. Well, women, I think a lot of us are caretaker. We take it on. We're like, oh, you must be right. We agree with them rather than get defensive.
I have had some men reveal their insecurities to me before.
Like what, Amanda? And the one,
hair is a big one.
That's a good one.
Oh, bald it, like if they were losing their hair?
If they were balding or like poofy hair. I've heard that before.
Colin just popped in with his bald head.
Hey, Colin.
I just wanted to come in and say, balding insecurity. Check.
He has no hair. Wear it and Blaze is saying, Blaze, our call screener, saying there's guys that don't like to take their shirts off at the beach. Yeah, that is true. Mm-hmm. Height's another one. Okay, Marie's saying not a full enough beard. Yeah.
Blaze makes a great point. Like I've been with a guy where he did not like taking his shirt off and I never thought anything of it. And I said, you're fine. And like, and I just said, like, everything's okay. Like you can take it off. Like we're in a comfortable space here. Like giving him that, like that permission and that acceptance of like, I don't care what you look like you're mm-hmm. with me for a reason.
Well, that's the thing we have to remember, that the partners that you're with, hopefully they're the ones that want to be with you no matter what state you're in, and they love all of you. I mean, that's what happens with the deep, trusting, healthy relationships. But I think the toxic ones are when we get all caught up in, I don't know, in looks or in shaming, or once you lose 10 pounds, I'll feel this way, when it's just very superficial. But we definitely don't live in a society that makes this easy. So I guess we're telling you all, it is okay. And then it does start with body love. Let's just say body acceptance. Start with that. Start with just knowing that our body's capacity for pleasure, for love, for touch, all those things, we're the gatekeepers to our body. So once we can learn to know that we are amazing the way we are, and the partners that were right for us are going to see that in us. I know that seems like a stretch and some kind of, oh, that won't happen. That will happen. If you're with a partner right now who is shaming you in any way, that doesn't have to be your reality. You're allowing that to happen. And I'm thinking those are the ones you can walk away from. And I don't often say that, but I think it's a certain type of person. I think you can move through it. Like maybe you grew up in an environment where it was all about looks and it was all about body type and all these things. But I don't think that you have to stay in a place of shaming others or shaming yourself. Yeah, just leave those people. And you know, I don't often say that you should just dump those people. It makes me angry.
Am I the only person here? When my friends talk to me about guys that don't treat them well, I immediately say, kick them to the curb. Guy doesn't talk kindly to you. Guy doesn't embrace your body. Whatever it might be, you're just and getting angry at you for something that you can't control. I just say, kick them. It's, you know, there's plenty of other fish out there. And same thing goes for guys. Like it's all about having someone that appreciates you.
It goes both ways though, because like, I know Gab, you and I have had this conversation, and like mm-hmm. being the strong person is obviously like, it's, that's the goal. That's the ideal. But I've been in a situation where I was telling you, like, how are you letting this person treat you like that? And you kind of just sit back and you're like, well, I'm like, what do you mean? Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can admit that it goes both ways for sure. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. I mean, like when you're in it, when you're the one, like, who's liking the person and wanting them to change and maybe like being mistreated a little bit, it can be so hard to see it. Cause like that happened to me when I was in my early 20s. Like I liked somebody who was not making me feel amazing. And I just like hung out and held a candle for them for like months. And like, I think even upwards of a few years. And my friends would tell me, you know, why are you with him? He clearly is like not giving the same amount of like love and respect. But I had to learn that lesson on my own. It didn't always matter what my friends told me.
Yeah.
Why can't we take our own advice sometimes?
It's really hard to take our own advice. Like, I can help all of you, but I think again, it's about upbringing and your family and your family of origin and what you're used to and what feels familiar to you. Is someone being judgmental, someone being critical, it feels like home, but doesn't mean that we have to live that way. Next up, what to do if you've gained weight in quarantine and you're just lacking that confidence. One of the greatest roadblocks that we have to having deeply satisfying, pleasurable sex starts with us. Sorry. Yeah, we could blame your partners. And I will sometimes do that. But if we don't learn how to make peace and learn to love our bodies, how is anybody else going to? Maria, good to see your face. Our intern has a question.
So this is something that has been kind of like brewing for a while, because like I've always had body image issues, because it's been like always like a trigger point with my family. They've always like commented on my weight like all my life. And I've always been like a little bigger than like usual. Like all my friends have been always like super slim and stuff. And I met my boyfriend like at my lowest weight. So that was like when I was like my most confident and everything. That was like 2 years ago. So I've obviously like my body has been like up and down with everything. And with COVID, I've also like gained like a lot of weight. And it's been like a thing of like me having to like cope with my own body. And like I've always been like super like happy with my sex life and everything. But with COVID, it's just like my sex drive's just been like super, I would say like almost dead at some point. And my boyfriend's like the most supportive. Like he wouldn't be like the type of person to like shame my body or anything. It's like the total opposite. With him, he's like into bigger bodies and everything. But for me, it's just like that like uncomfortable notion. Like I kind of find shame if my body is a little bigger than usual. And like with COVID, like I don't have clothes that like I would wear usually, like casual clothes that fit me well. Like I'm just wearing sweatpants all the time too. My question in general is like, how do I find confidence in like my own body to like just be okay with it, and like have my relationship with my boyfriend be a little better, knowing that he's like super okay with like me being bigger, but I'm like not really okay. Right.
Ria, thank you for sharing that. Really, that's a lot to lay down, and I so appreciate it. So first, it's like when you were, let's say you were at the less weight, do you think that you felt you loved your body at that point?
Yeah, like when I was at my lowest weight, it was also like because I was like pushing myself a lot to like exercise, counting calories and all that stuff. So it wasn't also like the super healthiest relationship with my body I had.
Right.
And like with my boyfriend, when I met him, it was like, I didn't really like prioritize gym time. Like we were both like having fun and like enjoying food together. Like my relationship with food got like way better. So yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cause that's the thing. I mean, I think that this is a journey. It's not just a one time, you know, conversation, but I think that, I mean, a lot of it starts with treating our bodies well and doing things that are good for it. I think even just moving your body. Do you walk, or do you get outside and do you just move, exercise, even if it's not like rigorous exercise? Do you eating foods that make you feel good, making those choices? Are you, because those things are like, and you're having pleasure with your partner.
Yeah. Like a lot of the things we do, we really enjoy together. Like we hike together, and that's like getting in touch with nature together is like something that we both really enjoy. And like, again, like with eating food and everything, like I feel like my relationship with food is better because like my boyfriend and I are like, I don't know, we're foodies, but we're also like, we take care of like getting like nutritious food and stuff like that.
So those are all great things. So I'm really happy to hear that. So it's kind of a process, I think, but it's like journaling and doing these exercises where you actually, it's not just looking at your vagina in the mirror, but looking at your body in the mirror and appreciating how you move and, you know, moving around your bedroom and dancing or playing music and actually like forcing yourself to do the look and to realize how amazing our bodies are. And that's why I didn't even say body love. I said body acceptance. And it's sort of a repetitive process, and something else that Amanda's saying too is affirmations is another step too. And what I do is, because I do a lot of negative self-talk around, oh, everything, a lot of things. I'm judgmental for myself. And I literally have like a list on my phone that just like notes, like in the morning, I try to take 10 minutes every day, sometimes 20, and do a meditation. And I read my affirmations around whatever it is. Like I have enough, I am enough, I am, you know, all the things I worry about, that I'm not doing enough and that I'm not good enough, or all the things. And I'm telling you, I go through spirals where it's not as great. And then I know that I have this one note in my phone, and I breathe and I read it. And affirmations are a really cool thing, because while they might seem like, oh God, people tell me to journal and write affirmations, it actually works, because the thing that's holding you back from it is like your thoughts, right? Your thoughts about what it means, because you actually feel good because you're eating good food and you're moving and all that. So maybe like a morning routine where you're like doing a meditation, writing, and putting down the things that the opposite thoughts of the negative. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. Because I feel like, especially like during this time, I've avoided mirrors, and that's like such a horrible thing to do too. I moved into an apartment recently, and like the last thing I bought was a mirror. And I got one that was like super cheap, and it's like distorted, so it makes me even look like bigger. So it's just like, I just like avoid it. So like, that's definitely something that I have to like look into. And like, I do a lot of like negative self-talk too. So it's something that like, I definitely have to work on.
Yeah. Our brains, this is what we do. It is a, it's a conditioning that comes from, I mean, so many things we've talked about on the show before, I mean, in life, but I mean, sometimes it is a daily practice. And I think another great thing that helps us is this, the questions are, if you have a thought and you think, is it true? We've talked about this before, but maybe not. I mean, I think everyone should write this down. The five questions is it true? What would be your statement, Maria? That's like your negative statement.
Something negative that I say to myself. I guess like I'm too big or something like that.
Okay. I'm too big. So then you say, is it true? The next question would be, can you be certain? Is it absolutely true? How do you feel when you believe the thought? Then the next thing is, how would you feel if you didn't or couldn't have that thought? You could not have the thought that you're too big. How would you feel overall?
Like happy or free.
Right. Yeah. And then how would it sound if it was the exact opposite?
Like happy and free, yeah.
Yeah. That's an exercise too that helps. I love that you're bringing this up now, because also like at your age too, how old are you? You're in your early 20s?
Yeah, I'm 22, going to be 23 soon. Mm-hmm. I feel like these are like insecurities that like I shouldn't be having. Like I could have them, yeah, but I shouldn't let them get in the way, because I'm just like, I'm young. Like I don't have to like deal with so many stressful things, I guess. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. We all have our things. There's things, we all have the things that we worry about. And whatever our thing is, it feels like, well, at least you don't have that, people think. But I think we all have the thing about our looks or our brains, or there's just so many things that. And I think it all comes down to our own self-judgment. So that's why it's like, if learning to, making it a daily practice, I mean, that is the work, because it just can take over our lives. Let's talk to Mary, 55 in New Jersey, because she has a message for Maria, our intern. Hi, Mary. Thanks for calling.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
I said when I first called, I was like, I could go in so many different directions with what you've been talking about tonight. But once I heard Maria talk and say that she was 22, a lot of the things she said struck a chord with me, because I too had body dysmorphia. Like I really didn't know what I looked like. And I would, you know, I was like a failed at trying to starve myself. I didn't do real well with that, but always just going up and down and whatever. But when I finally realized that our bodies are so amazing, just freaking amazing. Like I built human beings inside of here and then brought them out and kept them alive. But that, you know, it didn't stop me from having still, you know, in my 30s, not really feeling that confident all the time. And I was married, and my husband would, and I'm divorced for like 15 years now, thank God. He would call where that thing on my stomach where I grew those human beings, your messed up stomach thing.
Oh,
messed up stomach thing.
Mary.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. I can't even believe that what we tolerate
as women. What? Right? Yeah. That's what we're saying. We're like, we're walk away from those people.
We are so amazing.
We are amazing creatures. And you're absolutely right. We gave birth. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah.
Keep going.
And I would I had like little, like tiny, tiny veins, spider veins around my knees. And I could see like he'd be sitting there, you know, being shorts or bathing suit or whatever, and he would be looking like with disgust on his face. And he wasn't anything to, he was like the Pillsbury Doughboy. I'm like, what's like, and I had been like, I'm an Ironman triathlete. I ran, you know, ran marathons, and I let this person influence how I felt about myself. It's insane what we tolerate.
I know.
Just know that your body is so amazing. And whether it's at 8, a 6, a 4, a 10, a 12, a 14, it's so amazing.
It is, right, Mary? Yeah, and you get through it, right? You're 55. I mean, yeah, I often tell the women on my show, I wish when I knew the stuff I, you know, now in my 20s, we weren't talking about it as much, but there's a whole movement now, you know, body acceptance and sex positivity and, you know, like showing all different kinds of bodies, you know, companies, clothing companies, everything. We're really, now is a good time, but it's the thoughts that are programmed, you know, in our head. But I love to hear your success story, and you got out of that unhealthy relationship.
Oh, I, well, I, yeah. I still have trouble with, you know, thinking about my body. I have Hashimoto's thyroiditis. So before it was diagnosed, you know, I gained weight. Well, I was training for an ultra marathon. It was like pound after pound. I was about 45 or something, or 47. And I was taking pregnancy tests. I'm like, oh my God, am I like, what is this? Right. And then, you know, that got diagnosed and I lost that weight. And then now, like through a little bit before COVID, because I was goofing off and took a little break from working out as hard, which is a bad time to take a break. Ate a lot of candy. And, you know, now my clothes don't fit. And then COVID, but I'm better than I would have been any other time with this weight.
Right.
But, you know, still look at it sometimes like I can't stand it. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
you
know? I don't think it goes away. I don't know if it ever goes away. Like some of these thoughts just stay with us, you know. I don't know that it goes away, but I don't know, Mary, what have you found in the moment, Mary, that you just kind of have to catch it and then flip it because you're like, I could go down this dark hole right now and this isn't going to be good. So, right? Is that what you do?
I mean, when you're this old, you know.
Well, you know, because you're like, I've been hearing this message for years. This is not, I'm going to change the channel right now. Yeah.
Yeah. And when you're working from home, like basically alone a lot of times because kids are away. And so I'm talking to myself going like, no negative self-talk, you idiot.
Yeah. Or would you talk to your friend that way? That's some things that we tell ourselves too. Like, I wouldn't talk to my friend the way I talk to myself. And the affirmations are helpful.
I don't talk to it that way.
No. Well, exactly. Or our lovers, right? Because you got rid of him.
Right. Yeah. And Maria should be too. She's got an amazing body, I'm sure.
She's amazing. She's an amazing woman. They do, right? I'm just like, I wish.
Don't
the skin.
Suffer.
It's so soft. There's no wrinkles. And I know. I know. Well, thank you, Mary.
I have a 22-year-old as well. Well, thank you.
Oh, you
for
do?
All you do for everybody.
Oh, you're welcome, Mary.
Yeah,
it's really good.
22-year-old and
but she probably has her things too, right? We always have a thing we don't like about ourselves.
She's
several.
Perfect.
Of course, it's perfect, but there's something.
And she's got things. Yeah.
Right. We've all got the things, and that's why it's a day-to-day process. Thank you, Mary. Have a wonderful evening, and we'll talk soon. Thanks for calling. That's it for today's episode. See you on Tuesday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to the podcast. And share this with a friend or a partner. Believe me, if you got something out of it, they will too. We release shows on Tuesdays and Fridays, and look out for a bonus episode every now and then. Find me on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. It's all at Sex with Emily. And I've been told I give really good newsletters. So sign up at sexwithemily.com and don't forget to check out our blogs. If you want to talk to me, ask your questions about your sex life, dating, or relationships, email me feedback@sexwithemily.com or call into my SiriusXM show Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific, and call me 888-94-STARS. That's 888-947-8277. Get a free 30-day trial at sexwithemily.com/SXM. You can watch my masterclass on masterclass.com/Emily Morse. Was it good for you? Email me feedback@sexwithemily.com.